House, please come to order. It is my pleasure to announce the Honorable Pat Arp, Deputy Secretary of State, escorted by Representatives Wallace and Winters. The Honorable Max Maxfield, Secretary of State, escorted by Representatives Brown and Northrop. It is my pleasure to announce the Honorable Michael Golden, retired Wyoming Supreme Court Justice, escorted by Representatives Crone and Connolly.
We want to express our appreciation to Cheyenne East High ROTC for our flag ceremony. You may be seated as the guard retires. At this time, it is my pleasure to welcome some very special entertainment. The Gillette Chamber Singers is a mixed group of adults composed of local musicians who entered the group through auditions. It began in 1986 with 16 original members. The choir has expanded to its current total of 45. The Chamber Singers have had the opportunity to present concerts to audiences throughout the region, the country, and the world. I'd like to have Dr. Pat Patton introduce the songs that Gillette Chamber Singers will entertain us with today. Mr. Patton.
Where my father's high, land of the pure.
Dr. Patton, I want to thank you for a marvelous performance, for traveling here today, and really getting us off to a great start. That was just phenomenal. Thank you. At this time, we will have a prayer by Reverend Thomas W. Fisk, Holy Trinity Episcopal Church, Gillette, Wyoming. Please rise.
Let us bow our heads in prayer.
O God, the fountain of all wisdom, whose will is good and gracious, and in whose law is truth. So guide Tom, Kermit, and all our newly elected and returning senators and representatives to this 62nd legislature for the state of Wyoming, that these chambers may be filled with the faithfulness of your love and keep all who are called to serve and deliberate here ever mindful of your joy and blessings through your life-giving and Holy Spirit, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Reverend Fisk, thank you. Thank you for starting us off with that fine prayer. You be seated.
The Deputy Secretary of State, Pat Arp, will please call the roll of the House and report.
Roll call. For the 62nd Wyoming Legislature, House of Representatives, beginning with House District 1 and ending with House District 60. Mark A. Semlick. Hans Hunt. Eric Barlow.
Here.
Dan R. Kirkbride.
Here.
Matt Teeters.
Here.
Richard L. Kennedy.
Here.
Sue Wilson.
Here.
Bob Nicholas.
Here.
David L. Zwanitzer.
Here.
John Eklund.
Here.
Mary A. Throne.
Here.
Lee R. Filer.
Here.
Kathy Connolly. Kermit C. Brown.
Here.
Donald Burkhart.
Here.
Ruthann Petroff.
Here.
Stephen Watt.
Here.
Kathleen Davison.
Here.
Alan M. Yagi.
Here.
Albert Summers.
Here.
Robert McKim.
Here.
Marty Halverson.
Here.
Keith Gingery.
Here.
Sam Crone.
Here.
Dave Blevins.
Here.
Elaine D. Harvey.
Here.
Mike Greer.
Here.
Nathan Winters.
Here.
John W. Patton.
Here.
Kathy Coleman.
Here.
Tom Lubnow II.
Here.
Noreen A. Kasperick.
Here.
W. Patrick Goggles.
Here.
Rita Campbell.
Here.
Kendall Croker.
Here.
Gerald Gay.
Here.
Steve Harshman.
Tom
Walters.
Here.
Stan Blake.
Here.
Michael Madden.
Here.
Ken A. Escobel.
Here.
Lynn Hutchings.
Here.
Dan Zwanitzer.
Here.
James W. Byrd.
Here.
Matt Green.
Here.
Glenn Moniz.
Here.
Jerry Paxton.
Here.
Mark Baker.
Here.
Gary C. Perenin.
Here.
David Northrup.
Here.
Rosie Berger.
Excuse.
Sue Wallace.
Here.
Greg Blickery.
Here.
Lloyd Charles Larson.
Here.
David R. Miller.
Here.
Tim Stubson.
Here.
Thomas A. Lockhart.
Here.
Tom Reeder.
Here.
Carl R. Bunky Laux.
Here.
And House District 60, John L. Freeman.
Here.
Mr. Secretary, 59 members of the Wyoming State House of Representatives are present, with one member excused.
Thank you, Deputy.
As I prepare to fulfill the honor of opening the session for this year, I thought of a man that many of you have called friend, a man who served his country and his state with dignity and courage, and with a touch of humor to boot. We all learned last week of the passing of Representative Dave Edwards. Since hearing of his passing, I've thought about the privilege I had not only of being with him here in his capital, but also visiting him in his very special hobby shop in Douglas. Then I thought of other legislators I have maintained friendships with long after they have left these chambers. Peg Shreve, who you know passed away this year, Bob Frisbee, Frank Dussel, and I consider the time I've spent with them and many other former legislators as a real treasure. Naturally, our conversations would always turn to politics. Rich stories of their time in this chamber. Legislation passed and failed. Debates won and lost. I would always ask the inevitable question, do you miss it? To the person, the answer was the same. I miss the friendships I struck on both sides of the aisle. I miss the laughter, and yes, the very serious and intense debate. But they always underlined the presence of congeniality and civility that they experienced while they were here. Last night, I called Representative Clarine Law. She had a bad case of laryngitis. It was the one time that you got more sentences in than Clarine. But she was able to answer one question for me. I asked her, I said, if you were standing up there tomorrow, what is the one question, or what is the one piece of advice that you would give to the legislators? She didn't hesitate. Her voice got strong, and she said, use mentors. And she talked about, she named mentors from both parties that she gave credit to her long and rich time here. And I think if you talk to the legislators that have been here for a while, they could give you names of people that helped them get started too. So don't hesitate to follow in those footsteps. It is my hope that you will hear the wisdom of the past as you take on the issues of today and tomorrow. That you will end each day, that you will end this session knowing you are serious about your work, but you're not too serious about yourself. That you can look your fellow legislators in the eye and look yourself in the mirror and know that you treated them with dignity and civility. And finally, that you served your state in the best way that you could. I will now accept nominations for a temporary speaker. I recognize Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I'd like to place in nomination Representative Dave Miller. I should have brought my notes. Dave Miller to be our temporary administrator.
I appoint Representatives Lockhart and Paxton to escort temporary speaker Dave Miller to the chair.
The meeting will please come to order. Just a quick brief note before we start. Representative Lockhart and myself, both were freshmen as well as a few others here with Dave Edwards. And so, you know, like Dave would say, to start off the legislative session, get things done, just light these afterburners and take this rocket ship off. I will accept nominations for temporary chief clerk. Representative Petroff.
I move Patricia Benskin as temporary chief clerk.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carries. Congratulations. I appoint Representative Gay to serve as chairman of a credentials committee consisting of Representatives Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, and Simlick. The committee will convene in the office of the majority floor leader. The committee shall report its finding to the credentials of the membership of the House pursuant to Article 3, Section 10 of the Wyoming Constitution. The House will stand at ease until the sound of the gavel. The House will come to order. The temporary chief clerk will read the report.
The Credentials Committee has received from the Secretary of State a certified copy of the duly elected members of the House of Representatives for the 62nd Wyoming Legislature. We have reviewed the certificate and recommend that the persons listed thereon be recognized as the official membership of the House of Representatives 62nd Wyoming Legislature. I move adoption of this report. Gerald Gay, Chairman.
You've heard the motion. The Credentials Committee report is adopted. We need a voice vote on that. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion is adopted. Would Justice Golden please come to the rostrum to administer the oaths of office to the House members? House members, please stand.
raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that you will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Wyoming, that you have not knowingly violated any law related to your election or appointment, or caused it to be done by others, and that you will discharge the duties of your office with fidelity? All right.
Thank you, Justice Golden. We are at that order of the business, election of speaker. Representative Brown.
Mr. Temporary Speaker, I nominate Representative Tom Lubnow as Speaker of the House of Representatives for the 62nd Wyoming Legislature.
Representative Belkrie.
Mr. Speaker, I second the nomination of Representative Tom Lubnow and move that his election be made unanimous, dispensing with the roll call.
It has been moved and seconded that the Representative Tom Lubnow will be unanimously elected Speaker of the House of Representatives for the 62nd Wyoming Legislature, and that we dispense with the roll call. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. I appoint Representatives Barlow and Kasparik to escort Representative Lubnow to receive the oath of office and then take the chair.
We're at that order of business, election of majority floor leader. Representative Davison.
Mr. Chairman, I nominate Kermit Brown as majority floor leader of the House of Representatives for the 62nd Wyoming Legislature.
Representative Moniz.
Mr. Speaker, I second the nomination of Representative Kermit Brown and move that his election be made unanimous, dispensing with roll call.
It has been moved and seconded that Representative Kermit Brown be unanimously elected Majority Floor Leader of the House of Representatives for the 62nd Wyoming Legislature, and that we dispense with the roll call. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried. I appoint Representatives Green and Connolly to escort Representative Kermit Brown to receive the oath of office.
Violated any law relating to
Sure, be seated.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Mr. Majority Whip, Madam Minority Leader, Mr. Minority Whip, Justice Golden, Father Fisk, brothers and sisters of the 62nd Wyoming Legislature, distinguished guests, friends, and citizens of the state of Wyoming. I am humbly proud to stand before you as Speaker, and I pledge to do all in my power to uphold your faith in me. On behalf of my brothers and sisters in the House, our heartfelt thanks is extended to those in uniform who serve our country at great risk to make this experiment in democracy possible. Our thoughts and prayers are with you all. To my family traveling here to share this honor with me, thank you. To my wife, Rita, or as she's known in our house, she who makes all things possible, thank you for being beside me on this journey through life.
To my son, Thomas, thank you for sacrificing 8 weeks of a math partner. I'm available by phone if you've got problems in math. And to the rest of my family, thank you for your love and friendship and for going out of your way to visit the long-lost Wyoming relatives on this special day. I'd like to offer special thanks to the Gillette Chamber Singers. They are one of Gillette's finest assets. And then I'd like to say thank you to Billy Bob Shane, who will sing later today, who left his home in Nashville to share this occasion with us. And Bill and I went to high school together and played high school football together. He took Representative Wallace to the high school sweetheart ball. He headed off to Nashville to find fame and fortune and came back on this special day to sing one of the most beautiful tributes to the state of Wyoming ever written. A person moved to Wyoming told me he moved here for our good schools, low taxes, and limited government. He said his family loves it here. And then he said, "You're making the same mistakes they made back where I was from. You need to change the way that you do things." And I politely smiled to keep the words in. Looking back on that conversation, I should have said what I was thinking. Do you think that Wyoming is the way it is by accident? Do you think that our low tax structure, balanced budget, billions in savings, and limited government just appeared out of nowhere? You see, this body stands on the shoulders of giants in thought and planning. In very real ways, we receive credit for the hard work of our predecessors, who had the courage and commitment to stick to their core values, to develop a plan for the future and develop it for this unique state. And while we may be judged immediately on our actions, it will be only after our works withstand the test of time that we will be accurately judged with the wise eyes of hindsight. In terms of specific policy issues, we find ourselves in a time of discomfort. And that discomfort could force us to make changes that help this state for generations. That discomfort carves out places where innovation can live. The issues facing the 62nd Wyoming Legislature fall into pivotal categories: fiscal responses to a changing world, preservation of our infrastructure, addressing health care, education, and protecting individual rights. You know me, if I'm standing in front of you giving a speech, you're going to hear about energy. And one of the things that we can count on is the world this year will be different next year. Our global economy's in flux, and it affects us. Our primary tax-paying mineral industries are not as robust and secure as they once were. Our coal industry is under stress from national environmental and international economic forces. Coal production is down 9% in the last year. Every percent decline in the production of coal roughly equates to a decline of $15 million in the state's budget. That's $135 million less in Wyoming's tax revenues and to our economy.
While our domestic markets are declining, there's a burgeoning international market for coal. Currently, 15% of Australia's gross domestic product is sales of coal to Asia. Accessing those markets has an opportunity to not only bolster the Wyoming economy, but to start bringing back to this country those energy dollars that we've been sending overseas for two generations. Oil and gas production technology has changed the world. Now, from formations that were once considered impossible to access, we have nearly unlimited supplies of oil and gas, enough so that the United States has become an energy exporting nation for the first time since the 1970s. This technology revolution means that Wyoming will not see in the near future $10 an MCF gas. The decline in the price of gas is important to the budget because for every $1 per MCF decline in the price of gas, it equates to a $134 million decline in the state's tax revenues. Given the pressures on our mineral taxpayers, we have to be very prudent in guarding our treasury. We need to continue to save, to jealously guard every taxpayer dollar against being wasted, to minimize ongoing expenses, and fully fund underfunded promises to the future. At the same time, we need to change the way we look at our energy resources. Anne Corinne, in an essay entitled Turning Oil into Salt, points out that until the end of the 19th century, salt was a strategic commodity. Salt was the only way known at the time to preserve food. Wars were fought, empires were built, and economies were crushed on the availability of salt. Those who had salt created cartels and restricted the production of salt to keep the price of the commodity artificially high. The salt barons were profitable, successful, and had great power and influence. Then, refrigeration and advanced canning technology changed the world. Salt was still a commodity, but ownership and control of salt was essentially irrelevant. We're seeing the same type of revolution before us right now, with the discovery and ability to produce nearly unlimited quantities of gas. Our world and our economies are changing. Suddenly, those nations who've been feeding our energy addiction don't have the power to dictate and control our economy. If we do not change the way we look at our energy resources, we will face the same fate as the salt barons of the 19th century. We have to look at reality and adapt so that we can stay relevant. The key to economic prosperity for this entire nation boils down to a few simple questions. What is it that we have that other people and other countries want? How do we ethically and efficiently facilitate those products or services getting to market? Is our government doing something that interferes with the delivery of products? Does that interference need to be necessary? And if not, how do we get out of the way? The next broad issue we'll be asked to address is preservation of our infrastructure. Whether we like it or not, our highways are deteriorating. We are the state with the lowest population and the highest citizen per cost for maintaining highways. In his address to the 59th Wyoming legislature 6 years ago, one of the greatest political thinkers and a man I'm proud to call my friend, then Speaker Roy Cohey, said, "Our main avenues of commerce are by highways. It is essential that they be well maintained and improved to meet the business and safety needs of our public. Consideration must be given to eventually appeal to the users of that system to step up to the plate and pay for it. The sooner the conversation begins, the better our economic future." Those prophetic words were spoken to this body 6 years ago. And for 6 years ago, we've ignored the issue, robbing other funds to pay for our roads. Let me be very clear. No one wants to pay more taxes. No one wants to vote to raise taxes. But it is time we have adult conversations about the financial realities of maintaining our roads for our economy and for human safety. Our economic situation will no longer let us kick the political can down the road. If our infrastructure deteriorates, we leave a broken legacy for our children. I'm asking you to seriously consider increasing the user fee of our roads by capping the fuel tax to no more than the same level as our neighboring states. The next issue is addressing health care, which has been thrust upon us. Whether we like it or not, the Affordable Care Act is the law of the land. The reality is Wyoming will have a federal health insurance exchange. Allowing the federal government to establish that exchange is prudent policy. While we have the option of a state-run exchange, the reality is the federal government will still be behind the scenes like a puppet master, directing every action of that state-run exchange. Prudence dictates allowing the federal government to establish the exchange might demonstrate that cookie-cutter health insurance exchanges appropriate for urban areas have little application to frontier states like Wyoming. Please consider creating a health insurance exchange task force to monitor that federal program. The federal government holds out the Medicaid expansion to the states like a carrot. The rules on Medicaid expansion have not been finalized. At the same time, the federal government is offering to pay 100% of the costs of the expansion, which will decrease over time to 90%. With the condition of the federal treasury, it's hard to tell if the sparkle of Medicaid expansion is a long-term federal promise or a fishing lure calculated to forever hook the state into state-funded entitlements. In any event, prudence would dictate waiting to find out what the final regulations say before we commit to a state course of action. Education is the next issue we must resolve. Our children are entitled to the best education on the planet. Unfortunately, our education reforms have been bogged down. The structural problems in our education system date back at least 30 years. Without clear lines of governance, we cannot ensure education policy is being implemented by the executive branch. It is time we get down to the serious business of creating an education system that is responsive and responsible to our children, or to our students. Our children deserve nothing less. Ronald Reagan said, "Protecting the rights of even the least individual amongst us is basically the only excuse government has for existing." And we will be asked to address those issues. We are the last best defense against government intrusion into the lives of our citizens. While citizen rights should be easily granted and very difficult to remove, oftentimes the opposite is true. I urge this body to be a firm barrier against government overreaching, whether it be by the federal government, state government, or the local water and sewer district. We should be forever guardians against those who would show up and ask us to sacrifice our rights because it is in our best interest for the government to, quote, take care of us. Article 7, Section 20 of the Wyoming Constitution provides, "As the health and morality of the people are essential to their well-being and to the peace and permanence of the state, it shall be the duty of the legislature to protect and promote these vital interests by such measures for the encouragement of temperance and virtue and such restrictions upon vice and immorality of every sort as are deemed necessary to the public welfare." Our constitutional charge is clear. We as a body are the reflection of the moral values of the people of the state of Wyoming. Our debate on these issues goes beyond the mere passage of legislation. We serve as the conscience of the people, and it is clear that we differ on those issues. But as a reflection of the people of the state of Wyoming, we should differ. We should not shy away from debate on social issues because it's difficult. But on the other hand, we should not defer the other people's business to debate issues this body has been debating from the beginning of statehood to today. Nothing we say in our debates today has not been said in a multitude of debates over the years. So let us serve our function as the conscience of the people of the state of Wyoming, but let us not do it to the exclusion of other important business. I'd like to share some thoughts about this body with this body. Tension in ideas makes us stronger. We need to disagree. We need to test and probe and question. It is through the process of analysis and debate that we create a legislative product that can withstand the storms of time.
but tension in personalities makes us weaker. Let us have the courage to know our debates on concepts should be spirited and lively, but at the end of the day, more than civil. Let us leave these chambers knowing that we all leave with mutual respect and trust. Let us end the evening like the coyote and the sheepdog from the old cartoons, who spend the day battling over sheep, and then at the punch clock say, "Evening, Ralph. Evening, Sam." The last election cycle, I saw something I've not seen in Wyoming politics. I've seen the rise of litmus test, no compromise interest groups who have a specific with us or against us agenda. Lobbying behaviors which include threats, intimidation, or abusive behaviors will be disclosed and will not be rewarded with the outcomes that you seek. Lobby must be professional, and high standards will apply. Finally, I would like to share a message with the people of the state of Wyoming. You have the right to be proud of each and every member of this body. The future of your state is in good hands. Each and every one of us is here for a reason. We look at all things through different eyes. We bring different experiences to the table. We all bring different talents and skill sets. And it is those differences in experience and analysis, talent and skills that make us stronger together. The reason our system works is that we do not rely on one sole voice, but on the collective skills of each of us. We conduct ourselves as professional, proud, and productive legislators, and the voters of this state have reason to be proud of the Wyoming legislature because it is a beacon of efficient, open, and effective operations. We've been given a great responsibility and a great opportunity. It is with uncommon pride in this group of representatives and their courage and discernment that we charge into the fray. Now is the time for the real work of the people to begin. It is a profound honor to serve as your speaker. God bless you, God bless Wyoming, and God bless the United States. Thank you. The chair recognizes the majority floor leader, Representative Kermit Brown, and would ask him to address the body. Would Representatives Yagi and Petroff escort the majority floor leader to the podium?
Mr. Speaker, Madam Minority Floor Leader, Mr. Majority Whip, Mr. Minority Whip, Madam Minority Caucus Chairman, Justice Golden, members of the 62nd Wyoming Legislature, family members, friends, and guests, thank you for the honor and privilege of standing before you as your Majority Floor Leader. One can never accomplish these things alone. With humility and gratitude, please allow me to recognize those to whom I owe a special debt of gratitude. First, to my former brethren in the armed forces of this country who daily stand in harm's way so that we can safely exercise our privileges as a free nation. Thanks to my law firm colleagues who make it possible for me to leave my business and be here and who suffer almost daily with the diversions and distractions imposed on them by my legislative service. A special thank you to Justice Golden, who consented to my request that he administer the oath today. The state of Wyoming lost a great resource when Justice Golden reached the mandatory retirement age and was forced to leave the Wyoming Supreme Court. There are some bills coming, and I hope this body can support some solution to that problem. Finally, thanks to my wife, Margaret, the most important person in my life. As I campaigned for this office, I reflected on my last 8 years of service in this body and tried to articulate some abiding principles that seem to guide us year in and year out as we struggle with the issues presented to us. I've identified some principles that seem common to us all. My hope is that a discussion of them will help us all in the weeks to come. There is a reason we continue to be recognized as one of the best-run states in America. Perhaps these principles have something to do with that recognition. First, the principle of fiscal responsibility. We owe it to our constituents, and they expect from us fiscal responsibility. We are required by the Constitution of the State of Wyoming to have a balanced budget. That is the cornerstone of our responsibilities, but they run much deeper. We must optimize employment of the resources available to us so that our constituents receive the greatest bang for the buck. This involves value judgments and difficult decisions, but transcending it all, we must be responsible money managers working in the best interests of our constituents. I would urge my fellow legislators to seriously consider supporting the additional 10 cents per gallon tax on gasoline. Second, the principle of limited government. It should only be with deliberation and reluctance that we expand government. In many instances, our role in the legislature is to provide tools and authority to lower levels of government, to be used at the local level by local authority only if they make sense in that particular jurisdiction. Third, the principle of individual rights and freedoms. We should always strive to preserve and protect individual rights and freedoms, treading lightly as lightly as we can when it comes to limiting and constraining individual activity. Fourth, the principle of limiting the imposition of federal mandates on our state and its citizens. Today, it seems as though the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution almost doesn't exist. The federal government inexorably creeps into our lives and activities at every level, and that intrusion seems to be especially intense under the current administration. Particularly alarming to me is that the United States Supreme Court, in its zeal to limit application of the Commerce Clause, may have planted the seed of almost unlimited and unrestrained imposition of big government on its citizens through nefarious applications of the Internal Revenue Code. Fifth, the principle of knowledge. Knowledge is power, and nowhere more than in the times we live. Only 24% of our citizens hold a bachelor's degree or better. We rank somewhere between 35th and 40th of the 50 states, depending on how that statistic is calculated. To realize the principles I have set forth, knowledge and critical thinking are paramount. Today in our state, we spend some $1 billion a year on K-12 education, $15,997 per pupil in 2011. Yet something in the order of one-third of our students do not graduate, and one-fourth of Wyoming freshmen enrolling at the University of Wyoming qualify for remedial mathematics education. It is essential that we do better if we are to preserve our Wyoming way of life in the face of a federal system that seems to say that those with ambition and determination will never get too far ahead, and those who take no responsibility for their personal circumstances will never get too far behind. I appreciate the opportunity to serve as Majority Floor Leader. My pledge to my fellow legislators is that to the best of my ability, I will help you with your legislation and make sure you have a fair go of it on the floor. I may vote against it, but I pledge that we will vote on it. I would ask you to remember that if I rail against your bill, my opinion is directed toward the idea and not toward you personally. Likewise, if things don't go your way in the process, it is not because anything is being directed toward you personally. Instead, it is just because the process that is designed to help us get our work done is working as it was designed to work. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. May God bless you, God bless the state of Wyoming, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Would Representatives Yagi and Petroff escort the Majority Floor Leader to his seat? The chair recognizes the minority floor leader, Representative Mary Throne, and would ask her to address the body. Would Representatives Blake and Escobel please escort the minority floor leader to the podium?
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, fellow leaders, Justice Golden, Secretary of State Maxfield, friends, family, guests, and members of the 62nd, it is an honor to be here today and to serve as your Minority Floor Leader. I would like to extend, and I'm going to do what Tom did and get emotional, excuse me, Mr. Speaker, a special thank you to my family for being here and continuing to support my legislative service. When I began this legislative odyssey 6 years ago, I was the second tallest member of my family. By the end of this term, it's a safe bet that I will be the shortest. Unfortunately, my oldest son, Michael, is not here because he's at the Senate swearing in with the East Choir Chorale. I guess Senator Ross and I should have coordinated a little better. Today, we are beginning a new chapter in the rich history of this institution. In Wyoming, we pride ourselves on a different brand of politics. I was reminded of this in November when Senator Simpson and Governors Mead and Sullivan entertained us at the Wyoming Business Alliance dinner with colorful stories from their political lives, some too colorful for the House floor. When asked, though, what makes Wyoming unique, Governor Sullivan remarked, "The circles in Wyoming are small, are so small and so continuous. We all know we are in this together." So as we begin our journey, as we consider the major issues that will challenge us this session, what will we do to come together and to do what's best for Wyoming? And what are the major issues? Obviously, the budget. To understand our fiscal issues, we have to first understand where we are and where we have been. A quick history lesson is in order. In the 90s, Wyoming had no money. In the last decade, Wyoming's coffers were overflowing, and now our fiscal picture is somewhere in between. Given these changes and a less certain revenue future, our collective task is to examine decisions made in a different era to see if they are still right for Wyoming. Just because it made sense in the last decade to divert extra money to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund doesn't automatically make it the best course of action for today. We also continue to build up the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, now at roughly $1.4 billion, without ever asking some key questions. How much money should be in the LSRA, and under what circumstances do we tap it? Before we continue to sock away even more taxpayer money, we owe the public a full and open debate. We also need to set aside politics and ideology to address our health care budget. The truth is, if we do not get a handle on our health care spending, we cannot control our budget. One option for substantial savings is the expansion of Medicaid to approximately 17,600 uninsured Wyoming citizens. The most objective information available from our own Department of Health is that Medicaid expansion will save approximately $47 million in general fund money. Our hospitals support Medicaid expansion because it has the potential to reduce their expenses for uncompensated care, which were $200 million in 2011. More important, Medicaid expansion will provide better health care for many of the working poor in our state. The truth is that we all pay the tab for the uninsured in higher health insurance premiums and higher health care costs. This is why Medicaid expansion makes sense to me for Wyoming, and we look forward to the debate. I haven't even touched on many of the issues we'll face in the upcoming days. I knew I wouldn't have to discuss energy because I knew the speaker would cover that in detail. But obviously, energy, the environment, economic diversification, and education are all issues we will address. As Governor Sullivan said, the circles in Wyoming are small. Four of us went to high school within 10 years of each other. And I'm going to embarrass the Lubnow family a tiny bit. I learned recently from my mother-in-law that she actually dated the speaker's father long before either of their spouses were in the picture. We don't yet know all the relationships in the 62nd or the circles that will be formed to get the job done for Wyoming. We do know, however, that we are all in this together. God bless the 67th, the state of Wyoming, and God bless America.
Thank you for your remarks, Madam Minority Floor Leader. Would Representatives Blake and Escobel please escort the Minority Leader to her seat? Justice Golden, please accept our profound gratitude for your taking time from your busy schedule to administer the oaths of office to the members of the House of Representatives. We especially appreciate this since you did this as a personal favor for the leadership of the House and particularly Representative Brown. Thank you very much. We sincerely appreciate your dedication. Would Representatives Reeder and Goggles please escort Justice Golden from the chambers? Mr. Majority Floor Leader,
Mr. Speaker, I move that the persons whose names appear on the list of proposed employees be House employees for this session in the position so indicated on the list.
You've heard the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion is carried. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the permanent House and joint rules of the 61st legislature be adopted as the temporary rules of the House of Representatives for the 62nd Wyoming legislature.
You have heard the motion. All in favor of adopting the permanent rules of the 61st Wyoming legislature as the temporary rules of the 62nd Wyoming legislature, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The motion carries. The Chief Clerk is directed to notify His Excellency the Governor that the General Session of the House of Representatives, 62nd Wyoming Legislature, is duly organized and ready to receive any communication he may desire to submit. I further direct the Chief Clerk to notify the Senate that the House of Representatives, 62nd Wyoming Legislature, is duly organized and ready to receive any communication they may desire to submit. As Speaker, the Chair will meet with the President of the Senate to make arrangements for the joint session of the House and Senate to receive the Governor's message. I appoint Representative Moniz as Chairperson of the Courtesy Committee, consisting of Representatives Coleman, Winters, Madden, and Blake, for the General Session of the House of Representatives, 62nd Wyoming Legislature, to wait upon members who are ill and attend other courtesies as are from time to time deemed official by the membership. I appoint the House Standing Committees for the House of Representatives, 62nd Wyoming Legislature, as are shown on the distributed list. Before we recess this session, it's my pleasure to welcome some very special entertainment. Billy Bob Shane was born and raised in Gillette, Wyoming, before he moved to Hendersonville, Tennessee, 28 years ago to pursue his music career. He always missed Wyoming and wrote Wander Through Wyoming as a tribute to the people of Wyoming. The song was then featured on Songs of Wyoming, the Wyoming Centennial Record Project album. Please join me in welcoming Bill Shane.
Howdy! Good to be home. First off, I'd love to thank Mr. Speaker so much for having me. And all of you, I mean, this is an honor for me. I've played for people from all over the world. I'm at home at the Wyoming State Capitol playing for you guys. Man, this is an honor. Like Tom said, I miss Wyoming terribly. I've been living down there a long time, and people down there say you're a Tennessean now. Baloney. I ain't either. I'm a Wyoming boy, born and bred, and I always will be. And I was sitting in this little apartment I was living in, and I was watching a videotape that my family sent me of Brandon and a trail drive that we did and everything, and I was all lonesome. Of course, I had a little help. A couple of barley pops, but you know, that gets you a little bit lonesome. And I got to thinking about Wyoming, and I started writing, and I swear, this happens every once in a while, but this is one of them. And I swear the good Lord just put his hand on my head and said, boy, write this down, because as fast as I could write it, that's how fast I wrote this song. So this is for you all. Saddle ever creaking, that old road between my and me. Meadow larks are singing in the early morning. Fire's on fire with sunrise as I ride out through the hills. Watch the cattle grazing, cattle kicking at their heels. On the ridge I see the antelope, the mule deer running free. In the distance there's a buffalo, healthy big one. Lonely coyote, it's a peaceful western scene, but another siren scream is what wakes me from my dream. And I walk through my own in my mind. Lord, I ain't been home such a long, long time. I wander through Wyoming in my mind. I read the metro paper, shake my head in disbelief. Another senseless murder, rape and drugs and thieves. And I think about Wyoming and the children once again. Still believe in honesty and helping out a friend. Someday I'll pack this guitar and I'll be heading home. Leave this big old city, get back where I belong. Again, these precious daydreams will become reality. I know my Wyoming way with open arms for me. So now I'll close my eyes and touch those velvet skies and fly upon a golden eagle's wings and wander through Wyoming in my mind. Lord, I ain't been home such a long, long time.
Thank you, Bill, from traveling from Tennessee to be with the legislature today. Your performance was wonderful. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we stand at recess until 3 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All of those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion carries. The House is in recess until 3 p.m.